بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Three generations of the female members of Ahlul Bayt had witnessed the early Islamic movements. Not only they witnessed, but they participated in forming that history and reshaping the early Islamic movement that was started by our beloved and holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Khadija, the wife of the Prophet, unlike the myth that exists in many people's mind, Khadija was a businesswoman who was outspoken, who was proud of her own personality and opinion, a woman who was admired by all Meccans, a woman who expressed respect and love to our Prophet, so much so that she initiated the first step when she decided to marry the Prophet. She sends her friend to the Prophet asking him if he is interested in her, because she was a very wise woman, a visionary woman. She knew that this is not an ordinary man. He will be a great man, yet she will be the great woman who will support him, who will stand next to him. Read what the Prophet says about Khadija. Even years after her departure, he speaks highly about her. Every time her name is mentioned, his eyes get full of tears, and he remembers her. And he always speaks about how loyal she was, how sincere she was. One time, another wife of the Prophet gets jealous of Khadija. She says to the Prophet, "You keep mentioning that lady. What is it about her? An old lady who died, and God gave you a better one." The Prophet says, "No way. No way. God didn't give me a better one. صدقتني إذ كذبني الناس." She believed me at a time that everybody disbelieved. Everybody rejected me, but she embraced me. وواستني إذ تفرق عني الناس. She showed me so much love at the time that everybody was against me. That is in the early stage of Islam, when the Prophet was advocating for his faith, for the faith of Allah in Mecca. وَأَعْطَتْنِي مِنْ مَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِيَ النَّاسِ. She put all her wealth in the sake of Allah at the time that there weren't enough people to help. وَأَعْطَانِيَ اللَّهِ مِنْهَا البنين والبنات إذ حرمني نساء الناس. And God gave me through her wonderful children. No other woman gave me gifts. Khadija gave me. And the year she died, the Prophet calls that year عام الحزن, the year of sorrow and sadness. But never for a moment the Prophet forgets the role Khadija had in Islam. Never the Prophet underestimates her contribution He says, لولا قام الإسلام على سيف خديجة ومال علي بن أبي طالب. Two pillars for Islam. Wealth, with the wealth of Khadija, the financial contributions, and the second pillar of Islam was the sword of Ali, his force, his courage, his bravery, the man who never feared death, and he would go with the Prophet to all his battles and wars. And then Khadija passes her own responsibilities and role to her daughter Fatima. And Fatima played both roles, a mother to the Prophet and a daughter to the Prophet. Fatima to Ummu Abiha. At the time, that we know that the Prophet was an orphan. He says, Fatima gives me so much affection that I feel that she treats me like her son. She was so affectionate with her father. And she was so supportive of her father first and then her husband, Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was Fatima who was so forceful and honest and frank and courageous, who was willing to challenge the establishment, the Islamic establishment, after the departure of the Prophet when it went wrong. Fatima came to the masjid. She never feared anybody. She spoke. She said the word of truth. And she refuted the transgression and the deviation of the new establishment by using verses from the Quran. In that beautiful speech she gave in the masjid, in her father's masjid, when she spoke about the role of Ahlul Bayt, and if you Muslims want to maintain an authentic faith, it must go through this family, the family of the Prophet. Without the family of the Prophet, without their interpretation of Quran, without their guidance, you people will go astray. And this is something our beloved Prophet mentioned many times in his hadith. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثِّقْلَيْنِ. I'm leaving among you two heavy things. Kitab Allah wa itrati, the book of Allah and my family. Ma intamassaktum bihima, as long as you adhere to them both, you won't go astray. Fatima al-Zahra came to those people gathering at the masjid just to remind them of that fact that was pressed and repeated by her father many times, only few days before his departure. He announced that you Muslims won't be saved, you won't go, you won't be on the right path unless you follow my family. It was Fatima al-Zahra, the voice of justice, the voice of courage in the Muslim society. It wasn't anybody else. And now she passes that role to whom? To her daughter Zainab. Many people asked and are still asking why Imam Hussein took his family with him. If he knew that he will be facing martyrdom, if he knew that he will sacrifice his own life for Islam, so Islam can continue, then why he took his family? Someone going to the war takes his family with him. There were many answers to this question, but I think the most valid one is this one. Imam Hussein knew he will be killed in the day of Ashura. Imam Husayn knew that his enemies will kill him as well as all male members of his family. Because I tell you what, it wasn't a personal fight between Imam Husayn and Yazid, and I think I spoke about that earlier. The Amawis would view the family of the Prophet as a threat to their throne, to their power. The Amawis knew that the family of the Prophet would represent him in the society. So as long as there is anyone from that family in the society, then he will be a threat to them. So the best way to deal with this problem, that we exterminate those people. We uproot this family, so they have no person, no man who can continue the line. And no wonder that when Imam Hussein was appealing to those ruthless enemies in the day of Ashura, as he was carrying his own baby, the 6 month old baby, they decided to kill him, to kill that baby. Why? Imam Hussein says, أَنَا الَّذِي أُقَاتِلُكُمْ إِذَا كَانَ لِلرِّجَالِ ذَنْبٌ فَمَا ذَنْبُ هَذَا الطَّفْلِ. If I have any fault, then what did this baby do that you don't give him some water? They decided to kill that baby because they knew that this baby, once grown up, he will be another Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He will be another Ali ibn Abi Talib. Another threat to tyranny and aggression, because this family never compromises over the principles of Islam. They would never tolerate aggression being implemented and executed by the Amawis. They decided to kill them all. So Imam Hussein knew that he will be killed in the day of Ashura. Not only him, all members of his family, the male members, will be killed. Now, if Imam Hussein is killed, as well as all members of his family, then who will take the torch of his revolution to people? Who will wake people up? Imam Hussein was killed. Now, who will take that torch to the Ummah and try to spread awareness among them? It was his family. It was his sister Zainab alayhi salam. He knew that this role should be given to Zainab. Because, again, I would like to take you to the original role set by Allah to both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at both, men and women, equally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, إِنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Men and women are both equal in my eyes. If you do good and you're a man, I accept it. If you do good and you're a woman, I accept it. So they both play a powerful role. Yet, you see some Muslims misunderstand that role. And we have to be very careful. If Muslims have not treated women very well, that doesn't mean Islam had done so. We have to differentiate between what is culture and what is religion. Unfortunately, in many of our, communities in the Middle East, we use double standards. We tolerate mistakes done by the boy, but we don't tolerate mistakes done by the girl. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that we tolerate them both. I suggest the opposite. I say, we should not tolerate neither one. If a boy makes a mistake, we should hold him responsible. We should tell him, hey, you're wrong. A few years ago, a friend told me that when his son got 18, under the pressure, he purchased him a brand new car. And ever since he got his new car,
He would not come home till 12 or 1 a.m. He says, only the first few days I made an issue, but then I had no mood to fight with him, so I left him alone. 1 year later, his sister, who was 17 at that time, she became 18. So, she said, Dad, you purchased my brother a car last year, you have to purchase me one. I said, fine. So I purchased her a new car. And the same movie now is repeated. She goes out, she does not come till 11, 12. So when she comes home, and I make a big issue out of that, she says, Dad, how come when my brother came at 12, you didn't make a big issue? If I come at 12, you make a big issue out of that. Is that true? Yes. She got him. She has a valid point. It does not justify her own actions. But she has a valid point. When you tolerated my brother's mistakes, then you have to tolerate mine. So the first mistake done when you tolerated my brother. Now why you tolerated him and now you don't tolerate me? It is a long story. I don't want to mention it now, but that was my piece from this story. This is a mistake that many parents do. That they view the boy as independent, so he can do whatever he wants, even if he misbehaves, even if he makes terrible mistakes with other girls, we tolerate him because Malish, he's a boy, he's trying to promote his manhood. But if she does a mistake, we make a big issue. We should not fall in that trap. A boy and a girl should be treated in the same way. Because they are both responsible. And they are both our children. And to favor one over another, this is not an Islamic thing. This is a cultural problem. Sometimes our culture promotes, in certain societies, boys are favored over girls, but not in Islam. As a matter of fact, there is a hadith. The Prophet says, خَيْرُ أَوْلَادِكُمُ الْبَنَاتِ Your best children are the girls. This is the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. You don't believe me, boys? Look how many girls are here. They always outnumber you. So, Islam does not favor one over another. Yet, Islam gives each gender an appropriate role to play. Zainab was not required to take the sword and fight. Yet, she had another sword, which is the word of truth. And believe me, that was more effective of 1,000 swords if she had used against the enemies. And Imam Hussein was so wise and so intelligent, and he knew that the sword of his sister Zainab could be even more effective of his own sword when he fought with the enemies of Allah. That's why he brought her with him. And that's why he had a long meeting with her the eve of Ashura, like tomorrow night. A long meeting. What did he tell her? He was instructing his sister what to do and how to handle the tragedy. And believe me, Imam Hussein was right. Imam Hussein knew with whom he was dealing. Imam Hussein never underestimated or over-exaggerated his sister. He knew that she is fit and she could be temporarily the leader of his family till Imam Zain al-Abidin recovers. And Zainab was the brave woman. She never let her brother down. And it is so amazing to only know that Zainab lost 4 of her children. 4 of her children at the day of Ashura. She never mentioned their name at all.
She never said, my tragedy. She never spoke about her own personal pain and agony. Why? Because she believes she has a bigger mission. She has a bigger mission. And her mission is to disseminate the message of Imam Hussein to the entire world and to the entire Muslim ummah. From day one that she assumed leadership, which is the night of Ashura, she did an excellent job in conducting her role as the successor of her brother, as the propagator for Islam and her brother's revolution. Zainab, her influence, her impact on the nation was more powerful than a whole army. And that's why she was, in the end of her life, Yazid and the Amawis ordered the governor of Medina to send her, to expel her from Medina to Damascus so she could be under surveillance by the Amawis. She lived in her exile. Why Zainab is buried in Syria? Have you asked yourself this? Why she is buried there? Because the Amawis couldn't tolerate her influence and her outspokenness and her courage. She went to Medina. All she does, she wakes people up. She shows them the danger of the Amawis and the Ummah. So Zainab comes with the family to Kufa first. And then from Kufa she comes to Syria, where she meets the tyrant himself. You know, to meet Yazid and talk to him face to face and to challenge him, something that we read today, but believe me, it was such a difficult job. Men, brave men, feared Yazid. Many brave men blamed Imam Hussein for revolting against such tyrant because all they saw a tyrant who never tolerates any opposition. No man could have spoken, no man could have protested against Yazid. There was one man who was a companion of the Prophet, and he was 80 years old, Zayd ibn Arqam. He was at Yazid's chamber when he saw Yazid having the stick in his hand, hitting Imam Hussein on his lips. He couldn't see that. He couldn't tolerate that. He said to Yazid, now everybody is fearful. Nobody can say to Yazid, don't do this. Yazid has a stick in his hand, the severed head of Imam Hussein in a tray before him, and he is hitting with that stick on Imam Hussein's lips. What did this man say? He says, Ya hada, irfa' qadibaka an هاتين الشفتين فوالله طالما رأيت رسول الله يقبلهما. He says, Yazid, don't do this. Remove your stick from those lips. I swear in Allah that for a long time I saw the Holy Prophet kissing those two lips with my own eyes. And you hit them with your stick. What did Yazid do? He says, أَوَتَجْرَأُ عَلَى مُخَاطَبَتِي? You dare to speak to me this way? Then he asked the police, the guard, to come and arrest him and beat him and take him out. Nobody else can say anything. Now look at Zainab. Zainab, she comes in to Yazid's majlis, to Yazid's chamber. The first thing Yazid does, he asks, who is she? Who is she? She would not even talk to him. She would not even answer his call because Zainab despises this man. She says to him, not verbally, but through her actions, that you are not worth of being spoken with Zainab. You're not worth that Zainab would speak to you. You're nothing.
And Zainab is away, is way above you. I'm not going to put myself into that level to speak to you. Now, Yazid did something that he forced Zainab to speak. Not only to speak, to explode and to say that great revolutionary speech in his presence. When he started to say a few things, a few poetries expressing his excitement for killing Imam Hussein, Yazid says this, I wish my fathers and my grandfathers in the Battle of Badr had witnessed how the Khazraj are by the thrones annoyed. I want my ancestors to be here today to see how I took revenge from the family of the Prophet. I want my grandmother Hind and my grandfather. We spoke about his grandparents earlier. You remember? We spoke about Hind, who Hind was. The woman who chewed the liver of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, the uncle of the Prophet. We spoke earlier about who Abu Sufyan is, the man who was mobilizing people against the Prophet in Mecca. The man who led many expeditions to fight with the Prophet. He was cheering. Yazid was cheering on his ancestor to be there. He says, I wish you're with me today to see how I took revenge from Prophet Muhammad. Now she couldn't remain silent anymore. Now she stands up and she says, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَظُنُّ يَا يَزِيدُ حَيْثْ أَخَذْتَ عَلَيْنَا أَقْطَارَ الْأَرْضِ وَآفَاقَ السَّمَاءِ بِأَنَّ بِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَرَامَةِ وَأَنَّ لَنَا عَلَيْهِ هَوَانَا. Yazid, you think that now you became the king of the state and you took us as a prisoners, that Allah loves you and He hates us? You're wrong if you think that. Because you have never read Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, do you owe? Yazid, she quotes Quran, she says, then the end of those who committed evil was that they disbelieved in Allah's signs and they were ridiculing them. This is Allah talking about you, Yazid. Then she says, أَمِنَ الْعَدْلِ يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَاءِ تَخْدِيرُكَ حَرَائِرَكَ وَنِسَاءَكَ وَسَوْقُكَ بَنَاتْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ السَّبَايَا. Yazid, is it fair that you keep your wives, your women, protected, veiled, and you expose the daughters of the Prophet before people? Is it fair that you protect your woman, yet you expose the family of the Prophet? You take the children of the Prophet, the daughters of the Prophet, as war prisoners, as captives? Is this fair? يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَى. She's reminding him who he is. She says, your problem, Yazid, that you forgot your origin. You forgot, if it was not my grandfather, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Muslim army would have held you and your parents responsible for the crimes you committed. It was the pardon granted by my grandfather that you're alive today, Yazid. You forgot that. But then she says, what do I anticipate from a man who's a grandmother chewed the liver of the master of the martyrs? What do I anticipate from a man whose flesh and bone is filled with animosity against the Prophet and his family? What do I anticipate from you? Look at your history. But then she couldn't emotionally go on anymore. She says, وَلَئِنْ جَرَّتْ عَلَيَّ الدَّوَاهِي مُخَاطَبَتَكَ إِنِّي لَأَسْتَظِيرُ قَدْرَكَ وَأَسْتَعْظِمُ تَقْرِيعَكَ وَأَسْتَكْثِرُ تَوْبِيخَكَ لَكِنِ الْعُيُونَ عَبْرَى وَالصُّدُورَ حَرَّى.
She says, Yazid, I want you to know that if it was not those calamities and tragedies that I went through, I would never stand here and speak to you. I would consider speaking to you something that Zainab should not do. You are less than a man who Zainab would talk to. But what can I do? فالعيون حرة عبرة والصدور حرة. My heart is filled with depression and my eyes are full with tears and I am predestined to be here. I have no brother now to protect me. I have no family to protect me. And you, Yazid, are using your tyranny, your power to manipulate those people you bring us. But I want you to know, Yazid, that whatever you do, you should not think that Allah is not watching you. Allah is watching you. He knows what you're doing. فَكِدْ كَيْدَكَ. Do whatever you want, Yazid. Do whatever you want. فَكِدْ كَيْدَكَ وَسَّعَ سَعْيَكَ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَمْحُو ذِكْرَنَا. Wallah, whatever you do, Ya Yazid, you cannot erase our love from people's heart. Because you rule people with an iron fist, with swords. And we rule people with the love that Allah had assigned every Muslim to. That every Muslim should love the family of the Prophet. So you cannot uproot the love of the family of the Prophet from people's heart. فَاسْعَ سَعْيَكَ وَنَاصِبْ جَهْدَكَ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَمْحُو ذِكْرَنَا وَلَا تُمِيتْ وَحْيَنَا وَهَلْ جَمَعُكَ إِلَّا عَدَدٌ. Accumulate. And finally, everything will go vain. وَأَيَّامُكَ إِلَّا عَدَدٌ. Your days are numbered. Allahu Akbar. She says to him, your days are numbered. Only 3 years after that incident, he died. He didn't live. He was 33 years. Yazid was 33 years. The 36 years, the year he killed Imam Hussein. And after 3 years, he was 39 years old when he died. Zainab predicted that. She said, وَأَيَّامُكَ إِلَّا عَدَدٌ وَجَمَعُكَ إِلَّا بَدَدٌ يَوْمَ يُنَى وَرَأْيُكَ إِلَّا فَنَدٌ. All manipulation you have been doing and exercising will go vain, Yazid. I tell you this. Because yes, you can kill my brother. You can kill us all. But you cannot kill the revelation of Allah. You cannot kill the message of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow you. Now when she finished, there is a daughter belongs to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Fatima al-Saghira. Fatima, the junior Fatima. She is there. And a man who was brainwashed by the Amawi propaganda. The Amawi propaganda, as I mentioned a few days ago, was telling people that this family are the war prisoners, the family of the Prophet. They fought with us because they are not Muslims. They are rebellious. And that's why we took them as captives. And Yazid has the right to grant any of those ladies as war prisoners, as war booties, to any man he wants. So a man, a Syrian man, stands up. And he looks at Yazid and he says, Ya Yazid, أتأذنوا لي يا أمير المؤمنين أتهبوا لي تلك الجارية. Are you willing to grant me that daughter, that girl? And he is pointing to Fatima, the daughter of Imam Hussein. He wants to take her as a slave. Zainab stood up. Zainab answered that man. She says, no. ما كان هذا لك ولا لأميرك. This is not for you nor for your master, Yazid. Yazid says, yes. أن لي ذلك. I can do this. I can give your niece as a slave to this man. Look what Zainab says. How beautiful she answered him. She says, you can't do this unless, Yazid, that you declare today that you're not Muslim anymore. Because if you're Muslim,
You cannot give the daughter of the Prophet, the granddaughter of the Prophet, as a slave. Unless you declare today that you defected from Islam, you're no non-Muslim anymore. He says to Zainab, Zainab, إِنَّمَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الدِّينِ أَبُوكِ وَأَخُوكِ. It is your father, Ali, and your brother, Hussein, who defected from Islam. Look, he is accusing Imam Ali and Hussein to be non-Muslims. She answered him. She never left him. She said to him, إِنَّمَا بِدِينِ اللَّهِ وَدِينِ أَبِي وَجَدِّي اِهْتَدَيْتْ أَنْتْ وَأَبُوكَ وَجَدُّكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ مُسْلِمًا. She says to him, it is the deen, the faith of my brother and my father and my grandfather that brought you to Islam and guided you. With my faith, you, Yazid, has been guided if you're a Muslim. But I doubt you're Muslim. But if you claim to be a Muslim, it is due to effort and to the faith of my father and my brother and my grandfather. My dear brothers and sisters, Zainab was the messenger of Imam Hussein to the entire world. And she is a messenger to us today. So every time we commemorate Zainab and her role, every time we commemorate Imam Hussein and his role, we shall commemorate Zainab and her role, because they go hand in hand. They are complementing each other. Zainab alayha salam, even after she went back to Medina, she never stopped preaching. She always spoke about the aggression done by Amawis. She would hold secret and sometimes public forums to educate women, to tell them, to teach them what Islam is all about. One of her students, a woman whose name is Hind, she was her student in Kufa. And Zainab lived in Kufa for a while, because Amir al-Mu'mineen ruled Muslims for 4 years and a half in Kufa. So she was learning with Zainab. Afterward, Hind was married by Yazid. Yazid chose that lady, Hind bint Abdullah bin Amr. Hind, the daughter of Abdullah. She was chosen as a wife to Yazid. So as Zainab was brought to the chamber with her sisters, Hind was sitting inside, indoor, not knowing who those people are. So Hind, the princess Hind, is sitting in her room. She is hearing a voice coming to her ear. It looks like Zainab's voice. So Hind, the wife of Yazid, she sends her maid. And she said, would you go and clarify who this speaker is? Because her voice looks like Sayyidati Zainab, my master, my great lady Zainab. So the lady, she goes, the maid, she goes and she comes back. She says, yes, they said it is Zainab. She says, go and clarify what Zainab. There are many Zainab, but what Zainab? She goes and she comes back. The maid says, yes, I found out that this lady who was brought here as a war prisoner is Zainab bint Ali ibn Abi Talib. Zainab, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. She said, really? Are you serious? This captive is Zainab? My lady Zainab, she's brought here as a war prisoner by Yazid, by my husband? She says, wallah, I asked. They told me it is Zainab, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that moment, his wife, Hind, she came into the chamber before all men, uncovered. Yazid stood up. He says, قَبَّحَكِ اللَّهِ. Why you do this? Why you come to my chamber before all men, uncovered? She says, you blame me that I came uncovered while you expose my lady. Zainab, the daughter of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, shame on you, Yazid, that you treat your wife, your children, your women with such glory and respect, and you disrespect the family of the Prophet. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik wa anakhat birahlika wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum.